Fundamentally, gender equality and empowerment, which underlie overall development, they go hand in hand. And essentially, without one, you can't have the other. Furthermore, reproductive rights, fully formed choice, underlie the ability of women, youth, and adolescents to achieve their full potential. I mean, essentially, choice can change the world, and it can rapidly, very rapidly, improve the well-being of women and girls and transform and accelerate overall global growth and development.
And are these rights enjoyed in the Pacific?
Well, you ask a very good question because what we observe in the Pacific is, while reproductive rights and choice are respected by many Pacific Islanders, actually, when you look at universal access to high-quality sexual and reproductive health information and services, they remain somewhat limited. And as a result, the Pacific is one of the few regions, it may be the only region in the world, where adolescent birth rates, that's teen pregnancy, are rising in 10 out of 14 countries and territories. Now, this is quite remarkable and suggests a combination of rapidly changing social norms and behavior and weaknesses in health service systems, whether they're public sector or offered by civil society. This is, of course, of concern, I think, to many senior leaders and also to individuals in the Pacific. But thankfully, and very thankfully, we've seen evidence that positive change is possible. For example, just in the last 18 months, we've observed one of the sharpest increases in acceptance of modern methods of family planning in the Solomon Islands. And that's specifically a result of investments in the National Public Health System. UNFPA is working with partners to rapidly scale up this success story and ensure that we have increased access to sexual and reproductive health services across the Pacific. And we believe if we can support national systems to ensure five modern methods of family planning are available within 1 hour's travel time, whether through a static facility or through some outreach mechanism, that we'll see a truly transformative change in the current situation here in the Pacific.
And just on other issues that may affect reproductive rights and choice, is violence against women a factor?
Well, first of all, it's a profound reflection of the lack of inequality and empowerment, and for that matter, choice as well. And sadly, some of the highest rates ever recorded of violence against women and girls are among Pacific Island nations. Now, more specifically, Fiji, Kiribati, the Republic of Marshall Islands, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Tonga, and Vanuatu all have rates of 40% or above for the indicator called lifetime exposure to physical or sexual violence by a partner. That's well above the global norms around the world, some of the highest rates ever recorded. Now, violence against women and girls is a manifestation of very, very deep-rooted cultural norms and harmful traditional practices. But thankfully, again, we have some good news because in several countries, when you analyze the data further, you ask the question, what was your lifetime experience to a respondent? You also ask the question, in the last 12 months, have you experienced physical or sexual violence? And thankfully, a number of countries have a much smaller proportion of respondents who have experienced violence in the last 12 months, which suggests there's a very positive, there are some changes, positive changes in terms of overall rates of violence against women and girls. But we need to do much more rigorous analysis, and we look at prevention as well as mitigation and follow-up on violence, which will mean starting to change behavior with younger generations, even starting with a 10-year-old boy as his norms are established, and a 10-year-old girl through the life cycle of families and society to really address prevention of the underlying causes of violence.
And this would be your key message to those in the Pacific?
I think the key message is positive change is possible in terms of rights and universal access to sexual reproductive health and ensuring choice. And we have evidence of positive changes. And so I think in terms of the way forward for the Pacific, we'd like to say that the Pacific context does call for a very tailored response. And in order to do so, we launched on August 9th the Transformative Agenda for Women, Youth, and Adolescents across the Pacific. Now, this effort is carefully designed and tailored to specific Pacific realities, which will ensure universal access to sexual reproductive health information services.